Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. We'll read verses 35 through 50 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 27, verses 35 through 50. Matthew 27, verses 35 through 50. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.' Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.' The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man calleth for Elias.' And straightway one of them ran, and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, 'Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Thank you for our church. The Holy Spirit of God, please do what only you can, and that is meet the needs of so many hundreds of people in this room. Lord, I'm so glad that we don't go to a place that's a tomb, that has a body and set up as a shrine, to go and say that's where our Savior's buried, because he's not buried there. He got up out of that grave and conquered death for us. The Holy Spirit of God, please use our preacher today mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I take you to the cross, a place called Golgotha. It meant the place of a skull. We sing about it, a hill called Mount Calvary. So many times we hear the story of the crucifixion, but never could we be reminded enough of the great price that Jesus Christ paid for you and for me so that we might have a thing called salvation. As you know, Jesus had come, had been born of a virgin. He had lived 33 and a half sinless years here on this earth. Some say that he needed to be crucified because the truth is he needed to get out of here and get to heaven where he was accepted. Because it's a sad thing. This world did not accept him. The Bible tells us the story. We read a portion of it here in Matthew chapter 27. They found Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They had a mock trial where they were able to conjure up some accusations and found him guilty of some things. And the next thing you know, he is about to be crucified with common thieves and murderers. a crucifixion would have taken place, and in that day, there, if you were guilty of a crime that they felt was punishable by death, they would. Today we use maybe an electric chair, or we would use poison. At some parts of history, they would have had a firing squad, and that day they would crucify one by nailing them to a cross. Now they put Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through a mock and a false trial, making accusations against him, having false witnesses to help find him guilty. They take him up a hill called Mount Calvary. Before they took him up that hill, they beat his back with a whip until it was bloody like a hamburger meat. They put a mocking crown of thorns upon his head. They made him carry his own cross uphill to where they would finally nail him to that cross. They stole his garments from him to embarrass him. He finally lies down on that cross. They take a nail and drive it through his hand. They nail his first hand to the cross. He lays out the next hand and they drive a nail through his other hand and nails him to the cross. They cross his feet. They take one giant spike and drive it through his feet, first through the first foot, then to the second. They nail him to that cross. They lift him up and they let the cross fall down into a hole. With a jolt, that cross hits the bottom of that hole and tears on the nails on his hands and feet. There he is, beaten. He'd been mocked. He'd been lied about. He'd been found guilty of things that he was not guilty of. His back was a bloody mess. They'd taken sticks and hit him. There's a fake crown of thorns on his head. He doesn't have his clothing. He's ashamed, I'm sure. And he's hanging there on that cross. May I remind you, he was hanging there for you. He was hanging there for me. If you're a born again saved Christian today, let me tell you something. You ought to thank God for what He did for you. If you're here as a visitor and you're not saved and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He did it for you too. He did it for you too. There He hung. A lot of things happened as He hung there. Many things happened. And often I have heard people preach a sermon about what Jesus said while He was hanging there on the cross. This morning, I bring a sermon to you about what was being said around that cross. I mean, there were spectators around this bloody mess. There, to his right and to his left, there were two other people being crucified. He was on that middle cross, and there were people standing around watching. Like going down to the movie, or going to a race and being on the infield and watching the race. There were people there actually watching all this take place. Crowds had congregated to watch it happen. Many people would preach a sermon about what Jesus said while He hung from that cross. For instance, His mother was there, Mary was there, and Jesus looked down from the cross and said something to His mama. He actually mentioned her. He said, "Mama, over here's my good friend, John, the disciple, and Mama, I want you to take John home with you, and I want him to become like your adopted son." Then Jesus spoke to John as well. He said, "Now, John, you go home and take care of my mama." Well, that shows good character. Jesus Christ is about to die, but before He goes to heaven, He says, "I need somebody to take care of my mama. And Mama, I want you to adopt John, and John, you adopt Mama." So there He's hanging on the cross, and that's something that He said. We find Him say these words as He hangs there, beaten within inches of His life. He says, "I thirst." He was thirsty. They had beaten Him and abused Him and mocked Him, and the blood had begun to flow out of His body, and the perspiration from carrying that old cross, His body had begun to dehydrate, and He said, "I thirst." And so in a mocking way, they take a sponge on a stick, they dip it in vinegar and gall, and they pressed it to His lips to give Him a drink. That's something he said, I thirst. He said, woman, behold thy son, and to the disciple, behold thy mother. Now, there's something else that Jesus Christ said while he's hanging on that cross. He made this statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, when Jesus Christ took the sins of mankind upon Him, God had to glance away. He could not look at those sins. And Jesus knew for that moment that He was separated from His heavenly Father's sight. And He said, God's turned His sight away from me for this moment while I die for mankind and I take their sins upon me. But that's another statement Jesus made. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are all things that Jesus said while he's hanging on the cross. Another, he says this. While hanging on that cross, he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. There's Jesus saying of all these spectators and the evil soldiers and the lying people that had lied about him, he hangs there and says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Another statement Jesus made on the cross. He said to one of these, the other people being crucified, a man that was a thief, that man had decided he would trust Christ before he died, and he trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior while hanging on the cross, and Jesus turns to him and says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. These are the famous words of Jesus Christ while he hangs between heaven and earth, dying for your sins and mine. He says to his mama, Mama, I'm going to take care of you. He says of his body, I thirst. He says to God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He says to God, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He says to a dying thief, thou shalt be with me today in paradise. And then when it's time for him to die, he says to the Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. He said, Daddy, I'm dying and I'm coming home. And then finally, before he closed his eyes in death to open his eyes in life, but right before he closed his eyes to die, he said, it is finished. Say, what did that mean? He said, 33 and a half years ago, I came here to do a job. I came here as God's son, come down, born in the flesh. I came through the womb of a virgin, and I needed to live the Word of God perfectly for 33 and a half years so I could become the perfect sacrifice for man's sins so man could be born again. Because man is a sinner, and somebody has to die for their sins, and that somebody has to be perfect. And 33 and a half years ago, I started my journey. I've now arrived at the end of my journey. In just a moment, I'll breathe my last breath of air, and when I suck in that last breath of air, I'll die, and my job will be finished. I will have lived a perfect, sinless life. Of course, there was a couple more steps. He'd die, he'd be buried, he'd be resurrected, and finish off this thing called the gospel, but he said it is finished. Now, those are the seven statements made by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But those are not the statements I'm interested in today. I call my sermon, Voices Near the Cross. Not Voices on the Cross, Voices Near the Cross. You see, you have to remember, on this hill called Calvary, there were spectators. There were people there to watch. Those people that had driven the nails in his hands, they were there. Those people who had maybe fashioned that old rugged cross, they were there. Some of Jesus' friends were there. You have to understand, while he was hanging on the cross and he spoke, there was a congregation of people all around. And there were conversations going on. There were spectators, if you will, at the crucifixion. People watching the abuse of the Son of God. You could hear them talking among themselves. You could hear voices near the cross. And so often when I study the crucifixion, and so often when I study Jesus hanging on that middle cross, so often I think of what Jesus said. But not long ago, I started to think, I wonder what was going on in the crowd.
What was happening in the crowd? What was happening when suddenly a parade of people started marching toward old Golgotha? And what happened to that? Those crowds that were on either side of the road during that parade as they watched Jesus carrying his own cross to a hill where he would be crucified. And as soon as the tail end of the parade ended, all the people started marching toward Calvary, and they circled around the old cross, and they circled around Jesus Christ, and they watched the nails being driven in his hands. They watched it. They were spectators. And as they all stood there on Mount Calvary, not only was Jesus Christ speaking and it being recorded, but God saw fit to record what the spectators were saying. God saw fit that there was virtually a heavenly interview going on, and somebody was, as the words were being said, they were being written down word for word what the spectators said as they watched the crucifixion. And I bring to your attention this morning the voices near the cross. I want to bring to your mind what was being said about the Savior as he hung there. I bring to your attention this morning what was being said to the Savior as he hung there. For instance, I see here the voices of the doubters. Matthew 27:40, it says, "And saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God, and come down from this cross." Notice the word there, tucked in that verse, it says, "if." Somebody said to him, said, "Hey, if you're really the Son of God, then get down off this cross." Who is that? Somebody in the crowd was a doubter. They yelled up to him and said, "Hey, if you're really the Son of God, if you're really Jesus, the King of Kings, if you're really the Lord of Lords, if you're truly the predicted Messiah, if you're God in the flesh, prove it. Get down off this cross." He did not prove it by coming off the cross. He proved it by staying on the cross. His whole purpose in coming was not to get off the cross. It was to stay on the cross until he was dead. But you have in the crowd your doubters, just like we have in this congregation today. Hey, if you doubt Jesus Christ, who he was, what he was, and what he did for you, you're not the first. There have been doubters through the centuries. You're not the first one. They said, "If, hey, if," you say, "Brother Owens, I would be saved if," fill in the blank, "if what?" You've got your reasoning. "Hey, I would become a Christian if I knew I could live right, I'd get saved." That's where you're mixed up. You don't live right to get saved. You get saved by receiving the free gift of salvation, and after you get saved, if you want to, then you can live right. I would get saved if I knew God was real. I would get saved if I knew heaven was real. I would get saved if I knew this thing called hell was real. I would get saved if I knew the Bible was true. I would get saved if I knew salvation would do something for me. I would get saved if I knew that salvation was as simple as what they say. Let me tell you something, my friend. There have been ifers ever since Calvary. Ever since Calvary, there have been people saying, "Well, I would if, I would if, I would if, I would if." You're a doubter. You doubt the Son of God. You doubt the Word of God. You doubt the God of the Word of God. My friend, wake up and realize something. If you want to doubt something, doubt yourself, but don't doubt God. If you want to doubt, doubt the government, but don't doubt God. If you want to doubt something, doubt us, you and me, mankind, but don't doubt God. You're a doubter. You're an ifer. Satan is the one that causes us to doubt. You take, for instance, there is in the Bible a story where Satan came to Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. And Satan was trying to get Jesus to change sides. Satan was trying to convince Jesus to give in to Satan. Let me read a couple of verses to you. It's found in Matthew chapter 4. It is the time of the temptation of Jesus Christ Himself. It says in Matthew 4:3, "And when the tempter came to Him," that's Satan by the way, "He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." In verse number 6 it says, "And He saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee." In verse number 9 Satan says, "And He saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." So the devil comes to Jesus Christ Himself and says, "If you are who you claim, make these stones into bread. If you are what you claim to be, jump off this pinnacle or this high mountain, and you'll find out it won't do you any harm. If you are what you claim to be, fall down and worship me. It couldn't hurt anything." Notice something. It is Satan that causes doubt. Satan is the one that said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down off that cross." Why? Because had Satan convinced Jesus to come down off the cross, you and I couldn't be born again. And the very thing that's keeping you from getting saved today is you're an effort. Satan's doing it again. He's saying, if. Hey, you say, "Boy, I just wish I had some proof." Isn't creation enough? Who in the world did you think created that sun? Who do you think created the moon? Who do you think created the stars? Who do you think created the animals that run in the forest? Who do you think it is that gave us the winter and the summer and the fall? Who do you think flung the stars into the sky? Hey, I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. Hey, you don't have to doubt. But at the cross, Satan was there. And he threw that word, "if." If. Are you a doubter today? It is Satan that causes you today to doubt the saving power of Jesus Christ. But wait. Wait. As I listen, I'm near the cross. I'm listening. I hear a conversation over here. It's the doubters. It's the ifers. But wait. There's another conversation going on near the cross. The conversation of the false preachers and false religion. Listen to this. Matthew 27, verse 41 and 42, it says, "Likewise also the chief priests," that's religious people, "mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." I can't believe it. Religious people are saying, "If." They're doubting God. These are supposed to be religious leaders. Chief priests. Now, priest, that tells us it has something to do with religion. Chief, that has something to do with maybe superiority. Or if you're married, your wife is a chief. The chief priest, they say, "He saved. He can't save himself. He can't save other people either. He saved others, but himself he cannot save." You know something? When they said that, "He saved others, himself he cannot save," they said that in a mocking way. It's the only truth they told. He could not save himself. It wasn't a matter of he didn't have the ability. It was a matter of he loved you and I so much, he didn't dare save himself, because to save himself was to lose you. To lose himself was to save you. And it was all about you on the cross of Calvary. He could not come down. And those religious idiots back then didn't have the good common sense to realize that Jesus that was dying for them could not come down, because if he came down, they would never go up. They had to be born again. He had to pave the way. They didn't even know what the Bible taught. They didn't even know anything about true religion. You see, the voices of some false preachers were there. We hear them. The Bible says in Luke 19:10 that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. The false preachers, they were right. They were right about one thing, but they didn't realize that they were mockingly right. He could not come down. To come down off that cross was to keep them from having the opportunity to be saved. Don't listen to the false preachers. You can be born again. You can be saved. There are preachers that some of you've heard the false preachers. I ask you to gather with me around the cross of Calvary today and look and examine these voices that were being heard around the cross. I hear the voice of the doubters. Now I hear the voice of the phony religious people. Look, I realize something. I'm no dummy. I realize you can watch on TV and you can get around a bunch of these religions and everything, and all they want to do is get your money. I realize that. There's somebody sitting out there, money, 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 money. All you want down at the church is money. Let me tell you something. You can keep your stinking money. I'm not trying to get your money. Now what's your excuse for not getting saved? I'll come around here and beg for money. We make up our excuses, just like the phony religious people. Ah, money, money, money. And then you say, but I've seen the phonies. And look, I realize there are a bunch of religions out there and there are a bunch of churches out there. All they're doing is building their fancier buildings and they're entertaining each other and they're not really truly interested in the old-time religion. Well, you're in a different kind of a church this morning. We're interested in helping people and keeping people out of hell, and we only raise money to get God's job done. We're not doing it to prosper us. We're doing it to prosper God. But I realize, oh yeah, there are some that'll tell you, they'll sell you a piece of their underwear that's been blessed by God, and if you'll pray over it, you got you a holy piece of cloth. Hey, you may be praying over somebody's underwear, buddy. That's a bunch of tomfoolery. I don't believe in that junk. I believe there's a God, and if you need to pray, you don't have to have a piece of clothing or a piece of cloth to get your prayers answered. I don't believe in that. Hey, I realize there are phony preachers out there. I realize that. You may say a lot of things about me, and you may not like me, and you may not like that for which I stand. You may not like the way that I dress. You may not like the way that I drive. You may not like the house that I live in. There are a lot of things that you could criticize me for. But I'll tell you what hurts me the most. It hurts me the most if someone thinks I'm insincere. There are a lot of things that I am not, but one thing I am. I may not be perfect, but I am a sincere man, and I'll promise you that. I believe this book. And I'll tell you what we need in religion. We need some people to become sincere and truly grip of the true passion of Christ for people. But standing around the cross where these people and you had the phony preachers, and they were influencing people. Hey, look, I know there are false preachers out there that don't live the Bible. I know that. You say, Brother Owens. I know this one preacher. He gets up there and waxes eloquent in the pulpit. Well, I see him at the nightclubs and running around on his wife and drinking and living like a devil. Yep. Makes me flaming mad. I think he ought to resign his church and go get him an honest job. I know they're out there. But they were at the crucifixion too. They were there. They were a part of it. You say, a bunch of them preachers, enough of it, Hollywood actors. I know that. I know that. Boy, they go on television, get their makeup on, and get everybody to do everything just right because it's just a big show. I realize that. They're out there. They're out there today. They were back then. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. There were some true preachers back there too. You may say, Brother Owens, hey, if I had been there at the cross, I'd be over there with that pocket of doubters. Or maybe had you been there at the cross, you would have been over there listening to all the conversation of the phony preachers. I don't know, but I know their voice was there. Who else was at the cross? The voice of echoed lies from false religious people. Listen to this. I said the voice of echoed lies from the false religious people. Matthew chapter 27, verse 41 through 44 says this. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Now that's what the phony religious people said. They were mocking God. But listen, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. You know what that means? You had these phony religious preachers, and they were giving everybody a sour outlook on Jesus Christ and the old time religion and the Bible and the crucifixion and everything that he was doing because they were playing religion. They weren't real. They're over there and they're influencing some people and talking out loud, and you had some people that heard it. And the people that heard it merely repeated the lies of the false preachers. It says, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. What's it mean? They heard this phony religion, so they repeated what they had heard in the phony religion. So they started spreading it around. Ha! Can't save himself. Ha! If he were God, he'd come down. Ha! There's some of you, let me tell you what religion goes through your brain. You heard it from somebody that heard it from somebody that heard it from somebody. So that's what you believe. Can I give you a good piece of advice? You better believe what God said. It doesn't matter what somebody said that somebody said that somebody said. Hey, you better find out what the God that originated the whole text said. He said, that is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's down there about to die for all mankind. You better listen to the Bible. You better scrap all the stuff you heard that somebody said, that somebody said, that you thought that some religious person said, and get back to the Bible. Get back to the original text. Hey, you better take it straight out of the horse's mouth. And I don't mean that irreverently. I'm telling you, you don't need a passed down gospel. You need it straight from God. But they were there. You had the doubters that said, if. Then you had the phony religious people at the cross. As they were over there mocking and deluding everything that he stood for. Then you had the people who were listening to the false religion, and they were there, and they were merely repeating the lies that they'd heard from some preacher. The man on the cross, he says, yeah, you hear that? So he repeats what they said. You heard someone say, if you'll join the church, you can go to heaven. So I heard a preacher say that once. Well, just so you know, he was full of prunes. That is not in God's book. He said, I'm a member of a church. I'm glad you are. I'm a member of Sam's Club, but it ain't going to get me to heaven. Matter of fact, it sends me to hell about once a month when I take her over there. You heard the echoed lies of someone that said, if you join the church, it'll get you to heaven. No, it won't. Somebody said to you, hey, if you'll get baptized, if you get sprinkled or dipped, that'll get you to heaven. I am very sorry, my friend. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach if you get baptized, you get to heaven. That is an echoed lie. You heard it from somebody that heard it from somebody, and somebody got it from a preacher that didn't know the old black book, and that's exactly what's happening at the cross. You had these people that were doubting who he was. There were false preachers there that were messing with the pure doctrine of God. Somebody repeated what they heard, and now you have a problem. They're echoing the lies, and the echo is in their own heart and in their own mind, and they're going to send themselves straight to hell by repeating what somebody said, that somebody said, that somebody said, but it found itself in a false prophet who was a doubter of the old time religion. Who was at the cross? The voices of the echoed lies. Somebody told you if you'd give money to the church, you could buy your way into heaven. I'm sorry, my friend, that is a lie out of hell. You can't good deed your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't baptize your way to heaven. You can't church membership your way to heaven. There is only one way that you're going to get to heaven. You're going to come by way of the cross of Calvary. You're going to have to realize that you're a sinner. You're going to have to realize that sinners die and go to hell. You're going to have to realize that Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, born of a virgin, came and lived 33 and a half sinless years. He died for you. They buried him. He got up out of the grave. Now you turn to him and say, I will accept from you the free gift of salvation, and you receive the free gift, that gets you to heaven. And that's the only way you'll get to heaven. Not joining the church. Look, when you go to church, they ought to be exalting this old black book. They ought to be exalting the original salvation that the Bible teaches. Not some new man made up, conjured. I heard that somebody said, that somebody said, that somebody said. And the way I see it, it does not matter how you see it. It matters how God sees it. That's what's going to get it. Hey, when you face God at the gates of heaven, and he says, why should I let you in? And you say, well, let me tell you how I see it. God's going to say, next. No deal. You're coming God's way or you're not going at all. You say, I don't like that. Boy, that really bothers me today. That you don't like that. I'll tell you what's really going to bother you. When you face God and He said there was one way, I put it in the book. Either you did it my way or you're not coming in. But they were at the cross. They were repeating those lies. They were repeating them. Who else? What was another voice that we heard at the cross? I really need an usher to sit right in the middle back there. Brother Steve, why don't you move over there? And if people leave the service, don't let them walk right back into the service. Just let them have a seat back there. We got big business going on in here and I need everybody to give me their attention. Hey, what else was happening there? What was another voice? I mean, I heard a little pocket of people over here, and they were the doubters, the ifers. If. And then you had the false preachers, and they were ifers. They were doubting what God's plan was. They were doubting it. So they were using their authority, and they were out there preaching, thus saith the false preacher, instead of thus saith the Lord. So you got a bunch of people that are listening to the false preachers that are being led astray, and they're going to be led straight to hell. Who else was there? These false preachers had changed God's word around. They're Bible changers. Listen, Matthew 27, verse 45 through 47, it says, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard this, said, This man calleth for Elias, or Elijah. Jesus said this. This is what Jesus said. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what Jesus said. Do you know what they said? He said, they said, he's calling for Elijah. He's calling for Elijah. He wants God or Elijah or someone from heaven to save him. That's not what he wanted. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was not asking God to get him off the cross. He wasn't calling for help. They misquoted him. And they've been misquoting the Holy Scripture ever since. For years, people have been interpreting a Bible they're just supposed to take at its word and believe. Well, I believe God meant... When God said there was a hell, God meant there was a hell. When God said there was a heaven, God meant there's a heaven. Well, in my professional opinion, pooey on your professional opinion, what about God? You have the people that at the cross, at that very moment, started changing the words of Jesus Christ. They've been doing it ever since. Rewriting God's Word. Replacing it with man's words. Hey, look, we better just take him at his word. My friend, let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure if you'd go to heaven when you die, you better just take God at his word. There is a hell. You will burn there for all eternity. Well, I don't believe it. You will someday. Look, if he said there's a hell, that's all there is to it. You can believe who you want to believe. And let me tell you something. You say, well, I think I'll trust my better judgment. Think through that. So you trust you. Okay? Do you really? The person that has let you down the most and deceived you the most and got you in the most trouble is you. And God has never let you down. Now you pick who you want to trust. The one that created the universe or your puny little mind. Look, if God said there's a hell, we don't need to change that around. He said there's a heaven, we ought to just believe the Word of God as it's written. But you have here people at the cross already tampering with the words of Jesus Christ. Already saying something about the words of Christ that were not true. Look, if He said salvation is by grace through faith and that not of yourselves, but to gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, I think you better just believe salvation is a gift. See, but I went to the Catholic Church. Well, I'm not here to attack the Catholic Church. That'll be another day. I'm not here to say to you anything other than if the Catholic Church told you you work your way to heaven, that's not in the book. They tampered with what Jesus said. And nobody has a right to tamper with God's Word. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. You show me. He said, well, the Catholic Church said, I need to be a member of the Catholic Church to get to heaven. Show it to me. Show me where God wrote that. Or where did it come from? Where did it come from? Who really wrote it? Wasn't God. It's not in a book. I've read it from cover to cover dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Let me ask you this question. Did the Catholic Church tell you to read the book dozens and dozens and dozens and every word and believe every word and live every word and that every word was preserved? Did they tell you that? Or have they been fiddling with it? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to tell the truth. I just get excited about the truth. If the Bible says there's a hell, there's a hell. Listen, what other voices? Oh, I like this. I hear the voice of someone sincerely accepting the Savior. Listen, it says in Luke 23, verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged, talk about by him on the cross, railed on him saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. There's a doubter, there's a rejecter. But the other answering, rebuked the other thief, saying, dost not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. There's the perfect Savior. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Here's one man hanging on one side, and he speaks up, and he says, don't believe all that junk everybody's saying. This man has not done anything wrong. He's a perfect, sinless Son of God that hangs here beside us. He said, and you and I, we're sinners, we're filthy, we're undone, we're unsaved, we're unborn again. He said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, don't worry, buddy. You just humbled yourself. You just admitted you're a sinner. You just admitted that I'm the Savior. You just asked me to do all the saving. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There's somebody sincerely humbling themselves, accepting the old time religion, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and getting born again. And if you've never done it, I would recommend to you today that you sincerely come to the foot of the cross and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Sincerity. He hung there. It's probably the presence of Christ that brought the conviction. And anytime Jesus is around, things begin to happen. That's why I like our church. He's around. He's around. He's around. You say, Brother Owens, I don't want to die without him. I don't want you to die without him. I recently flew to the country of Panama. I have not flown over the ocean before. You say, why? Because I've seen the show Jaws. I mean, I don't want to get eaten by a shark. I've been afraid to die. I didn't want to become shark bait. Here we are, 37,000 feet. Mrs. Owens is with me. She knows. I don't like sharks. I mean, a lot of people don't like a lot of things. Hey, IRS agents are pussycats to me. Sharks are what I don't like. We're flying at 37,000 feet. My wife has known I have had virtually hundreds of invitations to preach all around the world. Korea, England, the Philippines, you name it. I've been invited there. I've never taken one. You say, why, Brother Owens? I'm afraid of sharks. I mean, I don't mind dying, but I don't want somebody to eat me to death. Think about it. So we're flying at 37,000 feet. You know what my wife is doing? She's got her window open and she's over there singing, baby sharks, do, 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 baby sharks, do, 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 do. Ah, woman! Shut up! Let me tell you something, my friend. Whether it's by shark, by heart attack, by car accident, or just old age, you're dying. You're dying. And I hope that you will do what this one did at the foot of the cross. I hope you'll do what this one did as they hung on a cross beside Jesus Christ, as he sincerely admits that Jesus is a perfect, sinless Lamb of God. And he admits that he indeed deserves to die. And as this one turns to Christ and says, that please, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I hope you'll have the good sense to sincerely accept the Savior. Because you see, at the cross, you see the voice of truth. It says in Mark 15:39, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost and said, truly, this was the Son of God. What happened? There was a centurion there that heard it all. Here's what he heard. He heard the ifers and the doubters, from which you found all the phony religion, all the man-made ways of getting to heaven, from which you've got all the ones that repeat all the falsities that they'd heard and tradition, and they just repeated what they heard, that they heard, that they heard, that they heard. And then you find the one that is there who has changed the Word of God. They've tampered with it. They started rewording what he said instead of just saying what he said. They didn't believe his word. They made something up to go along with it. This centurion heard all that. Then the last thing he heard was a humble man saying, I'm going to die. And I'm a sinner. And I deserve to go to hell. But hanging beside me is the Son of God. And I'm going to trust Him because He's the sinless Son of God. I'm getting saved. And this centurion is standing back watching it all. Look at what he says. This centurion says, truly, this man was the Son of God. Now, let me tell you something. One of these days, whether you're saved and go to heaven, or you're lost and go to hell, I'll tell you what you're going to say. It's coming out of your mouth. You're going to say it someday. Here's what you're going to say. Hey, if you're saved, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. And when you hit the gates of heaven and the streets of gold, you're going to say, truly, 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 Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Well, you're going to dance into heaven and say, no more pain, no more sorrow. I knew it was true. I knew it was going to happen. Here we are. My faith has become sight. Truly, He was the Son of God. And then, those of you that reject Him, and you're an ifer and a doubter, you believe the false preachers, and you go by the Bibles that turn it all around, have it all twisted up, and you reject Him, and you walk out of this building unsaved today, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You'll die. The Bible says, when you die, you will bow down before Him. And you will be forced, but will not have to be persuaded to say. See, you already know it in your mind. You might not like saying it, but you're going to say it. And you'll say right before they cast you into hell, Thou art Lord of Lords. Truly, Thou wert the Son of God. And then they'll cast you into hell. There were voices at the cross. Truly, Jesus was the Son of God. Truly, He was the King of Kings. Truly, He's the Lord of Lords. Truly, He was virgin born. Truly, He's the sinless Savior. Truly, He's the Holy of Holies. Truly, He had all power. Truly, He's the everywhere present one. Truly, He's the all-knowing one. Truly, He is the great God of love. Truly, He is the truth. Truly, He came up out of the grave. Truly, He's the Savior. Truly, He is God come in the flesh. Truly, He's the one that runs the universe. Truly, He's the one that gave you the air that you breathe and the food that you eat and the body in which you live and the house that you live and the job that you have. Truly, He gave you your eyes. Truly, He gave you your feet. Truly, He gave you your hands. Truly, He's the author of this old black book. Truly, He is the Son of God. And if you never trusted Him, you better turn to Him and say, truly, truly Thou art the Savior. And today, I humbly bow to you and say, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But I'll accept what you did for me when you died for me, was buried and resurrected for me. Truly, I sincerely accept you as Savior. Two kinds of people at Calvary. Two kinds. Saved sinners. See, people get saved, but they're not overnight perfection. They're saved on their way to heaven. Now they work the rest of their life to fix themselves up. And then there are lost sinners. Those that are on their way to hell. Two kinds of people here today. Those of you that are saved You're on your way to heaven. It's sealed, settled, all taken care of. You're saved. Now you'll spend the rest of your life trying to clean you up. But yet, there are those who are lost sinners. You're not saved. You never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You may be trusting your baptism, your church membership, turning over a new leaf, all that. But that won't save you. And that was proven by the voices. Nears.